Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Vav, Chapter 6. Following the defeat of the Plishtim, Vayosef od David et kol Bachur Yisrael Shloshim Aleph, David gathered 30,000 elite young men for a very special campaign. Now that David had control over the entire unified city of Jerusalem, he planned to bring the Aron, which had remained in Kiryat Yearim outside of Yerushalayim, today in the area of what is now Tellstone Abu Ghosh, up to its final resting place in Yerushalayim, the city designated by Hashem. We remember that the Aron had been captured by the Plishtim in the time of Eli HaKohen, when the site of the Mishkan was destroyed. The Plishtim had suffered divine retribution and had sent the Aron back to Jewish territory in a driverless wagon, and it arrived at the city of Beit Shemesh, which also suffered punishment because they failed to treat the Aron properly, and was finally brought to the house of Avinadav in Kiryat Yearim, where the people removed all traces of the Avodah Zarah from among them and served Hashem exclusively, in the merit of which they had remained the caretakers of the Aron for close to 20 years. Malbim cites the Midrashic teaching that Bachur in this Pasuk does not mean young men, rather chosen men, from the root bet chet resh, to choose, explaining that these were actually elders of each community in Israel who were elected to represent them at the ceremonial procession that would bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. In Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Vayakam vayelech David v'chol ha'am asher ito, miba'ale Yehuda, leha'alot misham et Aron ha'elokim, asher nikra shem, shem Hashem tzvakot yoshev ha'kruvim alav. David and all who were with him got up and went from Ba'ale Yehuda, which in Divrei HaYamim is identified as Kiryat Yearim, to bring the Aron up to Yerushalayim. The Aron was called by name, the name of Hashem Tzvakot, Lord of Hosts, who resides between the Kruvim. Radak explains that this name was given to the Aron as a result of the Kiddush Hashem that had taken place in consequence of the Aron's captivity among the Plishtim. Malbim notes that the name specifically included mention of the Kruvim, the cherubs, which were above the Aron, to highlight that Hashem's presence is made manifest through images that reflect those of human faces, as a reminder that the Aron is meant to be treated with special dignity. They transported the Aron onto a new wagon. We may remember this is what the Plishtim had done when they wanted to send the Aron back to Israelite territory. And they conveyed it from the house of Avinadab in Giv'ah, and Uzzah and Achyo, the sons of Avinadab, were leading the wagon. They conveyed it from the house of Avinadab with the Aron HaElokim, and Achyo walked before the Aron, and presumably Uzzah walked along the side. And David and all the house of Israel were rejoicing before Hashem. B'chol atzei broshim, uvekinorot, uvenevalim, uvetupim, uvemenaneim, uvetzeltzelim. With instruments of cypress wood, lyres, harps, and drums, these are well-known instruments in Tanakh. Menaneim uvetzeltzelim are less familiar. Mitzudot Zion explains menaneim as instruments that arouse one to dance, l'haniya gufo, to move one's body, and tzeltzelim are translated as cymbals or trumpets, as in tzilzalei shama v'tzilzalei tru'ah that are mentioned in Tehillim. When the procession reached Goren Nachon, the threshing floor of Nachon, Uzzah stretched out his hand and grabbed hold of the Aron, for the oxen leading the wagon had stumbled, and Hashem was angered by Uzzah, and Hashem smote him, al hashal, an unusual term, translated by Mitzudat David and Radak as for his error, for when he saw the wagon become unsteady, he forgot for an instant the unique holiness of the Aron and thought only that it might fall, and inappropriately grabbed hold of it. Alternatively, Da'at Mikra suggests that the word derives from the same root as shalva, peace, tranquility. He died instantly and peacefully upon making physical contact with the Aron, much as Nadav and Avihu had died upon offering the Ketoret illegitimately on the day of the consecration of the Mishkan. Vayichar leDavid al asher paratz Hashem peretz be'uzah, vayikra lamakom hahu peretz uzah ad hayom hazeh. David was deeply upset that Hashem had created a breach with the death of Uzzah, and he called the place Peretz Uzzah, the breach of Uzzah, or the place of outburst against Uzzah, to that day. What was so terrible about the behavior of Uzzah that warranted such a severe punishment? After all, his motives were sincere. He was trying to protect the Aaron from Chalila falling off the wagon. Rashi explains that Uzzah should have drawn a kal vachomer, an a priori deduction. If the Aaron could miraculously have lifted those who were carrying it across the Yarden when the nation entered the land of Israel, surely it could carry itself so that it wouldn't fall. Chazal highlights several issues with the procession in its entirety. We are taught in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Zayin Pasuk Tet, chapter 7, verse 9. V'livnei kehat lo natan, ki avodat hakodesh aleihem bakatef yisau. When Moshe Rabbeinu was apportioning the wagons and the cattle that had been donated for the work of the Mishkan to the tribe of Levi, he did not assign any of these to the family of Kehat, for they had been charged with the especially holy responsibility of carrying the Aron on their shoulders. Thus, the fact that here the responsibility of transporting the Aron was assigned to Uzzah and Achyo of the tribe of Yehudah was a breach of protocol. Furthermore, the Aron was placed in a wagon rather than carried on their shoulders as instructed by the Torah. And altogether, a spirit of lightheadedness seems to have prevailed. Note that while we have translated Misachakim as rejoicing, there is a connotation of playfulness associated with the term, as we noted when Avner had suggested Yakumu Nahani Arim v'yisachaku lefaneinu, let the young men play a war game, and was criticized for taking the matter lightly. The instruments mentioned here are Bechol Atzei Broshim, an array of instruments, not entirely in keeping with the instruments of the Levium mentioned in their Avodat HaKodesh. Rashi, citing Chazal, offers a harsh critique of David here. Ta'a b'davar she'afilu tinokot shel beit rabban yod'inoto, ki Avodat HaKodesh aleihem bakateif yisau, ulefi she'amar, Zmirot hayuli chukecha bevet migurai ne'enash lavo lidekach, v'meit uza al yado. David erred in a matter that even preschool children know, that the Aron can only be transported on one's shoulders. How could David have made such an error? This was because he had said in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yutet Pasuk Nun Dalet, chapter 119, verse 54, Zmirot hayuli chukecha bevet migurai. Your laws are as a song to me in my dwelling place. This showed a certain lack of deep appreciation for the Torah. While the words of the Torah are certainly a source of great pleasure, we are not meant to relax and enjoy them. We are meant to engage with the words of Torah, ba'amilut, to toil and exert ourselves to constantly understand better, more deeply or meaningfully what Hashem is telling us. David reflected contentment with the level he had reached and failed to continue to strive. Therefore, Hashem punished him by causing him to slip up in a matter that should have been child's play for him. That's why, explains Malbim, Vayichar leDavid, David was so upset with himself upon Uzzah's death, for he recognized that he was the indirect cause of the breach by having allowed a relaxation of the general attitude toward Torah. And it's important to note here that David HaMelech, due to his exemplary stature, was held to a very high standard. It may be difficult for us to comprehend the exactitude with which he is judged, but David, in his humility and absolute commitment to serve Hashem unconditionally, accepted the judgment meted out to him, as we shall see in the coming Psukim. In Pasuk Tet, verse 9, Vayira David et Hashem bayom hahu, vayomer ech yavo elai Aron Hashem. On that day, David feared Hashem and asked himself, how can the Aron of Hashem come to me in Yerushalayim? Malbim explains, David fell from the level he had achieved of serving Hashem me'ahava u'misimcha, out of love and joy, to the lower level of serving Hashem out of yirat ha'onesh, fear of punishment. He recognized his own downfall, and he felt unworthy of bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim. Therefore, the Aron was carried from the place where they had stopped to the house of Oved Edom Hagiti, whom Rashi identifies as a Levi, numbered among the gatekeepers of the Mikdash in Divrei Hayamim. And Aaron remained in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months, and Hashem blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. And when David was told that Hashem had blessed the household of Obed-Edom on account of the Aaron, he recognized that Hashem was demonstrating that the Aaron is not an instrument of punishment, rather, it is a source of blessing, and this was a sign that the time was right for him to bring the Aaron up to Yerushalayim. Therefore, Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Vayelech David, Vayaal et Aron ha'elokim mibeit Obed Edom, ir David, besimcha. And David went and brought the Aron ha'elokim up from the house of Obed Edom to the city of David, besimcha, not bischok, with lightheaded joy, not out of fear, but out of love and simcha shel mitzvah, a spiritually rooted expression of joy. And as they proceeded, after each 6 steps, they stopped to offer sacrifices, an ox and a young animal fattened for slaughter. Radak suggests that this is because Uzzah had walked 6 steps before his fatal error, so each time they accomplished 6 steps without any harm, they stopped to offer praise and thanksgiving to Hashem. Pasuk Yudalid, V'David mecharker b'chol oz lifnei Hashem. V'David chagur efod bad. In verse 14, David was dancing with all his might before Hashem, and rather than wearing the elaborate clothing of royalty, he wore a simple linen garment, similar to the garments worn by the Kohanim in their service of Hashem. When the Aaron approached the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, was looking out the window, and she saw HaMelech David, the king, whirling and dancing before Hashem. And she held him in disgrace in her heart. They brought the Aron of Hashem and set it in its place in the tent that David had prepared for it, and David brought sacrifices, olot and shlamim, before Hashem. When David ceased offering the sacrifices, he blessed the people in the name of Hashem. Divrei Hayamim records the text of David's tefillah at that time, which is today the primary text of Hodu that we say in Psukei Dezimra, either before or after Baruch She'amar, depending on your Nusach. If you daven Nusach Ashkenaz, it's after, and Nusach Sfard is before. After blessing the people, David distributed food to everyone, bread, meat, and wine, to all the men, women, and children. For after all, Ein Simcha Ela Bebasar V'Yayin, no joyous occasion is complete without a feast of meat and wine, and the people went home happy. David went home, intending to bless his household on this joyous occasion, and he was greeted by his wife, Michal Bat Shaul, who had come out to meet him. Pasuk Chaf, verse 20. Vatomir, Ma nichbad hayom melech Yisrael, asher nigla hayom le'enei amhot avadav, ki higalot niglot achad harikim. She greeted him, saying, how dignified the king of Israel was today, revealing himself before the eyes of the humblest maidservants, as one of the empty riffraff might do. David responded, Vayomir David el Michal, Lifnei Hashem, asher bachar bi me'avich u'mikol beito, l'tzavot oti nagid al am Hashem, al Yisrael, v'sichakti lifnei Hashem, u'nekaloti od mizot, v'hayiti shafal be'inai, v'im ha'amahot asher amart, imam ikaveda. Before Hashem, who chose me over your father and his household, to designate me as ruler over the nation of Hashem, over Israel. Before Hashem, I rejoiced. And I would have willingly lowered myself even further and taken my own dignity even more lightly and yet remain an object of respect in the eyes of the maidservants. And Michal Bat Shaul did not have a child to her dying day. This troubling dialogue and its tragic consequence bears a closer look. What bothered Michal so deeply about David's behavior, and why did he respond to her so harshly? Twice in this account, the Navi refers to her as Michal Bat Shaul, the daughter of Shaul, and not Eshet David, the wife of David. The hallmark of Shaul's character was his midah of tzniut, personal modesty. Michal, as Shaul's daughter, considered tzniut the fundamental principle upon which one's service of Hashem is founded. To violate this ethos of tzniut is to defile oneself, to negate the sanctity expected of every servant of God, and especially of the King of Israel. David, in his ecstatic dancing before the Aron, had allowed one of his limbs to be exposed, which in Michal's eyes demeaned both the institution of the monarchy and his own personal level of Kedusha, of holiness. David responded to her forcefully, demonstrating that this was a fundamental error in her understanding of serving Hashem. He exclaims that when standing before Hashem, we should not be so concerned about what people are going to think. If it's time to daven mincha and we're in a crowded room, go off to the side to find a place to concentrate, but bow fully before Hashem. It is right to be humble and modest, but we have to balance that humility with a sense of pride in who we are and what we stand for. When it comes to fulfilling Hashem's will, we do so with absolute conviction. David explains that Shaul's failure was that he was overly modest. His concern for what the people were thinking got in the way of his fulfillment of Hashem's command, and it was this very flaw that caused Hashem to reject the malchut of Shaul in favor of David. To suggest that David's behavior was immodest was to undermine the very character of his malchut. The Navi concludes that Hashem agreed with David, and Michal was punished, and she did not have a child from that point forward until her dying day. According to the Midrash that we had learned in Perek Gimel, Michal had already had a child with David in Hebron, and according to another Midrash cited here by Radak, she did have another child, but died in childbirth. The death of Uzzah at the beginning of our Perek highlighted the command to scrupulously follow the halacha, the letter of the law. David's response to Michal at the end of our perek illustrates that within that observance, there is a place for simcha shel mitzvah, the expression of profound joy as privileged servants of Hashem. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.